All right, so today is our Dwell Women's Bible Study at 3 o'clock. If you have any questions, you can see Kate Carmen about that, but that'll be over at the other building, the Education Building in the Fellowship Hall. That's going to be a great time. The women know how to do it, man. They know how to do Bible studies. They know how to do events and activities. And the men, we're getting on board too. Yesterday, we had our first men's breakfast. It was a big hit. I'm not really sure why John was laughing while he was cooking. It was a little disconcerting, but he was. And then the food turned out okay. As you can see, Levi took as much as he could. And so did everybody else, actually. It was really good. And it was just a really good turnout. And then afterwards, we did a little service project and moved the table out of there. And maybe that's why John was laughing, because he knew Levi was going to be doing that. But it was great, and it was an awesome time. So thank you for all the men who came out to help me to cook, and for all those who came out, and we're just getting started. But the Dwell Women's Bible Study is later on today at 3 o'clock. Parable Quest is coming for our children's ministry. This is just our summer ministry for the children. Brandy is putting together a great program for that. So if you have elementary school children, you know, bring them. Tell people you know. It's going to be an awesome time. It starts this Wednesday, June 10th, and then it's I think it's like every other week or maybe every 2 weeks. You can see the dates up there. I'm bad at math. I went to public school, so in Baltimore. So, but anyway, it's going to be a great. Time, so make sure you put that on your schedule. And our swimming study, we had our first swimming study for our high schoolers. It was amazing. Take a look. It was an amazing time, and you know, we were reminded this is awesome, because we had Sean and Jessica. They helped lead the worship for the youth on Wednesday nights, and they were there leading worship, and they're like, this is like our first time we've led worship poolside. And it was like, you know, it was a beautiful reminder to our youth that you don't have to be in church to be with God. You don't have to be in a building, that we are the church, that wherever we are, God is there with us. And, you know, that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today, too, a little bit, and we've been talking about with prayer, is that, you know, prayer doesn't have to be this huge formal thing. It can just be, we're just talking to God. We're just coming before Him. So it was an amazing time. We had worship poolside, and then Rich was teaching right in the pool, and it was just an awesome time for the youth. So if you know any youth, Let them know. We'll be doing that all summer long. All right, so here is what you've been looking for. This is the QR code for your YouVersion. So if you want to follow along with the lesson today, we do have Bibles in the chairs in front of you. You can grab one of those. But this right here is FCC1. This is our one QR code that we have put together now. You know, that way we don't have like a QR code here and a QR code there, here a QR code, there a QR card, everywhere a QR code. So we have one QR code, and from there, if you're new, you can check us out and click new here and we can connect with you. If you want to follow along with the message, you click on YouVersion Notes. If you want to watch a previous sermon, you click Watch Sermons later, not today, while we're current sermon's going on. Watch the sermons later. That's pretty bad. Like if like during this sermon you're watching another sermon of mine. And then you can give right there, and you can visit the website. We're updating this every day and every week, and we're working on this to make this better and better. If there's something not on there you want on there, let us know. Eventually we'll have devotionals on there, so you can do devotionals throughout the week and different things. If you want to sign up for something, we'll have sign-ups there. But everything FCC will be at this spot. And this is the only QR code you need. Once you get this, just bookmark this in your Chrome, and that will never, never change. So, everybody got it? All right. We'll be sending it out as well. So, last week we talked about what prayer is and why we pray. And we read 1 Thessalonians, you know, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And part of that is that center part, pray continually, because it's God's will for you. And man, when you think about praying continually, that's kind of scary, right? I mean, if you're like always praying and you don't know what you're doing, you could like fall off somewhere, you know? And we think about that praying. I got to be always praying, always praying. And we said a couple things about prayer to help us with this. First, prayer is not a speech to perform. It's not, Father God, oh Lord, I beseech thee, come behind me. And it's not that. It's not this thing where we have to do this big, ginormous performance. It's a relationship where we're talking to our God. We're talking to our Creator. In fact, if you are a believer and a receiver in Jesus Christ, you're talking to your Savior. You're talking to the one who died for you. And it's not something that we just this is my morning prayer. And listen, there's nothing wrong with morning prayers. There's nothing wrong with evening prayers or mealtime prayers. But prayer is more than a speech. It's a relationship. In fact, we said it's a lifestyle, not an event. It's a lifestyle. As you go through your life, talking to God continuously, continually, as the Scripture said. So, we talked about that, and we talked about different types of prayers, but this morning I want to talk about some ways that we can pray. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, as we open up your word, as we take a look at how you prayed, and as we take a look at what you want from us, I pray that our hearts would be open, our minds would be open, we'd be ready to hear the message that you have for us this morning, and may you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take a look at three ways we should pray. Now, I know we talked about this. We said, you know, there's different types of prayers, and we said there's no right way to pray. But I'm going to change that just a little bit. I think there are maybe three right ways to pray. And the first way we should pray is this. We should pray humbly. We should pray humbly. When we come before God, we need to come with humility. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. Matthew 6, or it's on your phone. This is what Jesus said. He said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. He says, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry, that's commentary. He says, do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You know, we get this thing in our head about what prayer is supposed to look like. Or, you know, I've heard people say before, oh, I wish I could pray like that pastor or even a member in their church. I wish I could pray like so-and-so. Oh, they sound so fluid. They sound so wonderful and amazing. It's great, but that's not what we're called to. And we can get caught up in performances, right? Because we're like into celebrity stuff, right? Even Christians, we're into celebrity worship bands. We're into celebrity pastors. We're into celebrity stuff. We get caught up in performance. And, you know, me of all people, right? I wanted to be an actor. And so I could get caught up in that as well. I remember, you know, I told you on Mother's Day, you know, I was really struggling when I was little and was doing drugs and everything. And my mom said to me, you'll never accomplish your dreams if you're living like this. So I took her at her word, and that next year I auditioned for my first play, Scrooge. And I was so excited. And when I got there, though, I realized I was out of my league because there were quite a few other people there, thespians, you know, who had been in for a while. And the one girl, I call her the nine play girl, because she's like, yes, this is my ninth play that I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, this is my first. So I get in there, and they're like, they take me in, they move me over to the piano, and they're like, okay, so what song are you going to sing? And I'm like, I didn't know I needed to sing a song. They're like, well, this is a musical. Do you sing anything? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, well, you know, do you know Jingle Bells? You know, do you know what do you? And I'm like, I guess I can do Jingle Bells. So you know, they're doing stuff, and they're like, anytime you want to come in, just come in. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I'm really bad at that. I don't know when to come in. And they're like, all right. So I'm like, Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. And they're like, that's great, that's awesome. I'm like, all right. Meanwhile, the dying play girl, she's over here like, I cannot believe I'm in the same room with this guy. And I'm like, okay. So they're like, what part do you want? I'm like, this is Scrooge, and they have Scrooge as a child. I'm like, I want Scrooge as a child. I'm thinking this is going to be awesome. It's going to be great if I get this, because it screws the child. It's going to have a lot of lines, right? So we get the call later on, and they called, and my mom was like freaking out. She's like, what's going on? What's going on? Because I was on the phone, and I'm like, And my mom's like hyperventilating, and I'm like, I got the part. And she was like, she screamed, and she's jumping on her bed, and she's like more excited than me. And I get there, I'm ready for it, right? I'm going to have a lot of lines, right? And I got there, and I had three words. Three words. Home, little, fan. Home, little, fan. So basically, Fan, his sister, is coming to him at school and saying, dear Ebby, Dad sent me to take you home. And I go, home, little Fan? And I spent hours and hours and hours. Home, little Fan? Home, little Fan? Home, little Fan? Home, little Fan. I was trying to figure out exactly how to do it. And then I get there to the audition, and after the audition to the rehearsal, and there's nine play girl, and she has like, you know, like all these lines, and every line has to last 20 minutes. Because the one line, she's like, no doubt on his way to bestow a Christmas kick on some penniless little orphan. And I'm like, that's not, you gotta do that. So it was my turn. And she came up and she was like, dear Rebbe, Father's got to bring you home. And I said, home, little fun? No, I actually didn't do that. But it was like, it was all about the performance. And we can get caught up in our prayer life like it's all about the performance. God wants the best of me. Who here thinks God wants the best of you? Yeah, he does. He does want the best of you. But do you think that he doesn't accept you unless he has the best of you? If that was the case, he would have never went to the cross. He didn't go to the cross because we were giving him the best. He went to the cross because we were a great big mess. I want you to know that when you come before your Lord and Savior, prayer time is not the time for theatrics. I mean, he knows it already. He knows it already. He knows what's going on, right? You can't get up there and put on a show like that. He knows what's going on in your heart and your life. If you want to show God how spiritual you are, show it by how you live your life, your deeds, not your words. And come before him humbly. And when your deeds don't match up, you say, Lord, I'm still a mess. I still need you. Walk with me today and help me. And when we do that confidently. We do it humbly and we do it confidently. And we need to pray confidently whether we're seeing the results we want or not. So many times we're like, Lord, help me. I know you're not really going to do anything, but help me with this anyway. And so it's not going to happen, but I'm going to pray anyway because I need to pray. We need to pray confidently, and we need to pray believing that God is going to answer. Now, it doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to answer it the way that we want him to answer it, but we need to believe that he is going to answer. Who was it? Somebody great said this once. They said that that when I pray and God answers my prayer, he's either going to answer the prayer that I pray, or he's going to answer in the way that I should have been praying to begin with. He's going to give me what I need, not necessarily what I want. In fact, Proverbs 16:9 puts it this way, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And I want to give you a little secret. I don't say this lightly or often because, you know, we talk about prayer and secrets and stuff. But I want to teach you something that I learned. And when I have prayed this way, God has answered my prayer every single time. And it's the difference between anticipation and expectation. And I want to set this up for you. We need to pray without anticipation, but with full expectation. Okay? So many of you know, some of you maybe knew, but don't know, but my wife and I, we were separated 3 times in the first 3 years of our marriage. In our third separation, we were 600 miles apart for 6 months, headed straight for a divorce. We've been married over 30 years now, but during that time, it was horrible. It was bad. We were apart. We gave our lives to Jesus, and Jesus said, J.R., you need to go back to Michigan, because I'm from Baltimore. I was living in my home in Baltimore. He said, go back to Michigan and heal this relationship with your wife and her family. So I said, okay, Lord. So I quit my job. I took my last paycheck. I drove 10 hours to Michigan. And when I got to Michigan, I had no place to live, no job, no friends, and a whole lot of enemies. Carrie's parents said I would never darken their doorstep again. It was really, really bad. Had nothing. I went to a hotel room, and I stayed on my knees in prayer for 2 days. I mean, I did eat and stuff too. But I got up, you know, but I was basically by the side of the bed praying for 2 days. And at the end of 2 days, I had a place to live before I even had a job. I had an apartment. And then at the end of 3 days, I had a job. And there was a certain way that I prayed there that I wonder sometimes why I don't pray like this all the time. See, I could have went there anticipating how God was going to answer my prayer. A lot of us do that, right? If we're struggling with our marriage, or we pray, Lord, heal our marriage. But in our mind, that means fix them. Or it means take care of this situation. It's like, Lord, I pray for my kids. And what that means is, Lord, this is what I want my kids to do. Or, Lord, help me with my job or my friendships or my situation. And in our minds, this is what we think it is supposed to be, right? So when I went there to Michigan, I could have prayed, Lord, I need an apartment close to Carrie and close to the church that she goes to. Lord, I need a job that's going to make this much money, and I need a job that's going to do this. But I didn't do that. I just said, Lord, I'm in a heap of trouble and I need your help. I need a place to live and I need a job. Help. So here is, and again, I hate to use like methods or things like that, but here it is. Pray without anticipation, but with full expectation. I prayed, I did not anticipate how God was going to answer my prayer, but I fully expected He would. Let me say it again. I did not anticipate how He was going to answer my prayer, but I fully expected He would. You see, when we go to the Lord and we are anticipating how He's going to answer it, and it doesn't happen the way we anticipate it, we're like, well, the Lord doesn't hear me. He's not hearing my prayers. He's not doing anything. But as we read earlier, we plan our course, but He plans out our steps. So we need to go to Him, not anticipating, you're going to do it this way. It's going to look like this. But we need to go there and say, but I believe that you can do it. And I believe that you're going to do it. And I want you to know, every single time I've prayed that way, every single time He has answered my prayer, and it's because I'm praying according to His will. I'm praying, expecting that He is going to work in the way that He wants to work in my life. And when we do that, that's when we are truly surrendering our will before Him. We talk about that a lot, surrendering our will to God, making Him Lord over our lives. But many times, it's not. We surrender ourselves to Him, and I want to write a book one day called Jesus in the Bottle. You know, like genie in the bottle, Jesus in the bottle. Because a lot of Christians, they treat Jesus like He's the genie in the bottle. I'm just going to pray and He's going to answer my prayer. But He is Lord. So what we do is we come under His dominion. And we let Him know. We say, Lord, I need help here. And listen, there's nothing wrong. Say you applied for a job. You're like, Lord, I'd like this job. But again, it's not anticipating how He's going to do it. But we need to fully expect that He will. You know, the Bible says that when we come to Him and we go back and forth, we're like a wave, you know, tossed back and forth like a wave. You know, where sometimes we believe, sometimes we don't. And we need to go to Him humbly, and we need to go to Him confidently. He says, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, the health and wealth gospel, they'll say, that means just say, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, give me $1 million in Jesus' name, heal me in Jesus'. And that's not what when it says in Jesus' name, the implication there in the original language is according to God's will, according to who Jesus is, according to His plans and purposes. And again, if you ask Jesus to do it according to His will, He will, and you can be confident in that. You can be confident in that. But see, here is the problem, right? We have our baggage, we have our stuff. We're like, Lord, I need you to take care of this. You know, it's, Lord, just fix that for me, you know, and we pray. And then we say, okay, Lord, take care of that for me. And then we're like, we keep dragging it, and then we're working, you know, it's like, Lord, take care of that. And then, you know, he does something with it, and we're like, well, that's not what I wanted you to do with it. And we try to make Him do what we want Him to do instead of just saying, Lord, just take care of this. Make this how I want it to be, right? We're like, no, we want it like this, right? We want it like that, but he puts it like this. And then later on that day, we twist our ankle, and we realize that we have to be down lower, actually. And He actually did something because He knew who we were. He knows who we are, and He knows what's coming ahead of us. So when we pray and we say, Lord, speak to my heart, work in my life according to your will, fully expecting that he will answer those prayers. Third way we need to pray is we need to pray reverently. Reverently. Humbly, confidently, but also reverently. You know, God desires a relationship with us, but listen, he's not your buddy on the ball team. Okay? That we should speak to him any way we feel. And people will go to extremes the other way. Oh, I'll just say, hey. Yes, there are times that we will cry out to God, and that's good. Maybe even times that we shout out to him. God understands this. He understands what we're going through. The Bible tells us this. It says, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. We need to remember that he is God, not us. When we speak to him, we need to come to him reverently. You know, the Bible says, you believe that there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. And we use that a lot of times when we're talking about salvation. Because people say, well, I believe in God. And we're like, well, so do the demons. You got to do more than believe. But here's the thing that we miss out on. That word at the end, shudder. Why do you think the demons shudder? Because they know who Jesus is. They know who God is. Philippians 2 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Name above all names. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. One of the things that you'll hear me saying over time is it's okay to ask God questions, but we should never question God. See the difference? It's okay to ask God questions, but we should never question God. He is the potter, we are the clay. He is the creator. We are the ones who messed up our lives, and he's the one who came down and saved our souls. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to ask him questions. He wants us to cry out. He wants us to yell sometimes, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I can't handle this anymore. He wants to hear that. He wants reality. He wants truth. But we should never question him. There's a difference between saying, what is going on, Lord? And saying, what are you doing, Lord? There's a difference. The difference is in how we approach him. If we approach him reverently and humbly and confidently. Colossians says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So, got a little homework for you this week. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't try to sound like someone else. Don't wait until you feel spiritual enough. Just take some time, talk to God every day this week. I want you to take 5 minutes, and I want you to pray three simple things. So write these down. I want you to pray three simple things. One, Father, thank you. Thank you for. I can't tell you what that is. You know what that is. What do you need to thank him for? I think it was a men's breakfast yesterday. We were talking about this, that, you know, you might be like, oh, man, I got a flat tire. Oh, it's so horrible. Well, be thankful that you have a tire to get flat. There are some people who don't have transportation. There are some people who don't have a vehicle. Oh, Lord, you know, yeah, are you really saying that you want me to be thankful because I got a bad diagnosis at the doctor's office or because I got injured or hurt? Well, be thankful that you're alive in order for that to happen. Be thankful that you have a living God who hears you. That when you are speaking to Him, He truly hears you. So what is it in your life right now that, if we're being honest, you might be a little thankless about? And look at that and take some time this week and thank God for the good stuff. Thank Him for the part that you have been forsaking. Second thing I want you to do this week is to say, Father, help me with. Father, help me with this. He wants you to come to Him and ask for help. Again, if we could do this all on our own, Jesus would have never came. And don't let the world... Listen, Jesus did not come to save your soul just for all of eternity. He came also to save your soul for today. Do you realize that there are some Christians who believe that God cannot heal their marriage, but yet they're trusting Him with their salvation? They're trusting Him with eternity, but they don't think He can handle today. And I want you to know, if He can't handle your marriage, if He can't handle today, you are a fool for thinking He can handle your eternity. If you're trusting Him for all of eternity, then you can trust Him for today. You can trust Him with the things that are coming your way today. And He died so that you could have victory, not just then, but victory starts the moment you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. He gives you that victory and you continue to walk in Him. So ask Him, Father, help me with this. And it might not seem like it, but these two are pretty easy. The third one I want you to do is this. Show me where I need to obey You today. Show me, maybe some of you, it's just this. I asked you to write this down or to remember this and to do this. And maybe in your heart you're knowing, Lord's saying, yeah, I need to do this, but you're not doing it. Maybe that's just what it is. Maybe it's something else that you know that God's been calling you, He's been saying to you. But you've been saying, tomorrow, I'll figure it out later. Father, show me where I need to obey You today. That's it. 5 minutes, no performance, no pretending, just your heart before God. And if you're already praying regularly, then deepen it. Don't just bring your requests, bring Him your surrender. Bring Him your obedience, bring Him your whole heart. Because prayer is not a speech to perform, it's a relationship to pursue. My friends, God is looking at your heart today. He doesn't want you to live with a sense of lack or condemnation or past mistakes. He wants to give you a fresh start. We read in Jeremiah, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Now it's clear in this passage, this is in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. God is speaking to Israel during the Babylonian exile, and He is telling them to seek Him. But I believe that God will do the same thing for you today if you seek Him. He's not hiding from you. This isn't like hide and seek. It's not that hard. He's waiting for you with open arms. It's as simple as, Lord, I don't know what else to say, Lord. Here I am. If that's an honest, real prayer, He will honor that. If you've never opened your heart to God's love and grace, today could be a turning point for you. It's not about being religious or about being perfect. It's just about saying, Lord, I give You my life today. Wash me clean. Fill me with Your peace. Lead me into the bright future You have prepared for me. Because you see, sin separates us from God. And no amount of religious language can fix that. No amount of good deeds can wash that away. No amount of church attendance can save your soul. But Jesus can. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. He lived without sin. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. And on the third day, He raised from the dead. Maybe today He's calling you to Him. Romans 10 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But calling on the Lord is not just saying words while keeping your life close to Him. Everybody wants that get out of hell free card. It's about more than that. And I stand up here as a pastor and I guess as a representative of the professional church. And I apologize to you. But the church has said that sometimes. The church has said, just come to Jesus, He'll save your soul, and everything will be good. It was never about us to begin with. It was always about Him. It was always about a relationship with Him. And Scripture calls us to believe in Him. Scripture calls us to repent. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It just means I'm going to move in the way that God's calling me to go, right? This is a great example right now. This is coming to me. Okay, so God's telling me, fix the stool, right? That's my repentance, is to fix the stool. So in my head, fixing the stool would be like, you know, or maybe putting it back over there, right? God's not calling us to be perfect. Now, I'm not saying that this means that we can just go and do whatever we want to do and do whatever, but He's calling us to obey Him. So in our imperfection, we might be over here like this, you know, trying to get it right. And then, you know, eventually, by the time we get to heaven, we'll have it right. But repentance is saying, I want to do what You're calling me to do, Lord. I want to go the direction You want to go. Repentance is not this. Lord, I love You. I know You want me to do this. Thank You, Lord. I'm just gonna play the drums now and do my own little thing. That's not repentance. Repentance is saying, Lord, You've called me this way. I'm going to go the best I can, and I'm going to trust in You that You're going to show me how to do it. A lot of Christians, we use that excuse. Let's be honest, we use that excuse. I'm not perfect. Well, got some news for you. God never asked you to be perfect. Not while you're here. In fact, the Bible says He knows your dust. That's humbling. God looks down on us, He's like, yep, that was a piece of dust. He knows we're dust. But He loves us anyway. And He calls us to repent. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you are outside of Christ today, whether here or online, don't just think about prayer. Come to the One who makes prayer possible. Come to Jesus. Turn from your sin. Confess Him as Lord. Be buried with Him in baptism and rise to walk in new life. Don't leave today wondering where you stand with God. And if you are a believer and you're still just struggling, but you have truly received Him as your Lord and Savior, take hold of your Savior. There's a little boy who was flying his kite, and his kite got caught in the trees. And he couldn't get it out of the branches. And he said to his dad, I can't get it out. And his dad said, you're not using all your strength, son. You might have heard this before. He said, you're not using all your strength. So his son went back over there, and he's trying to get the kite out. He can't get the kite out. He's like, Dad, I can't get the kite out. His dad's like, son, you're not using all your strength. So he goes over again, and he's working, and he's trying to get it out. He can't. He's crying. He goes, Dad, I can't do it. Son, you're not using all your strength. He's like, Dad, why do you keep saying that? He's like, because you never asked me to help you. You see, my strength is your strength. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a receiver of His mercy and grace, His strength is your strength. And He wants to help you, and He wants to walk this life with you. My friends, prayer is not a speech to perform. It is a relationship to pursue. And I want you to know it is the greatest relationship you will ever have. And if you trust in Him with your whole might, your whole soul, every part of you, you will not regret it. And you will have a life of victory. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I'm not saying you're not going to have issues. But God will be there with you in every storm, in every trial, and you will never, ever be alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we get to come before You. We can do that. That we don't have to open up a fortune cookie. That we don't have to look at our horoscope. That we don't have to go to a fortune teller or try to figure it out. That we can just come to You. The lover of our souls, our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer. And then when we come to You, You are ready to answer. You are ready to answer whatever we're dealing with. And I pray that if anyone's wrestling today, that they would truly bring it before You. They stop trying to carry it on their own. And they would bring it to You and let You carry them through. All of us, Lord, every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to know about starting a relationship with Jesus, I'll be in the back. If you need to know how to work on that and grow that relationship, I'll be in the back. And God is always, always here waiting to hear from you. Let's stand and let's pray.